Start out reading in a moment in Proverbs chapter 22. In fact, again, I was backwards on that. We're going to read Romans 13 first and then leave your fingers in Proverbs chapter 22 and turn back to that secondly of all. I'm on this series that's called God's Best for Your Life. And we're for four different Sundays, we talked about your children, from the time they're infants to the time they're actually adult children in their 20s. And I pray to God that you have received some truths in those series of teachings that's helped you out as grandparents, as mentors, and as parents and teachers also. God wants our children to be godly offspring. Like Proverbs tells us, for this purpose I bring a man and woman together that I might see godly offspring developed upon the earth. And so I pray to God that you're going to take the principles of the Word, the truth from God's Word, and see all that God has in store for your children come to pass in their lives upon this earth. Amen. We're going to start now. There's a two-part series, at least, on winning in finances, talking about money and finances. This, again, is a very, very practical series. I'm not going to get involved in a lot of real deep spiritual revelation in this. It's going to be mainly about what God's Word says, what principles say, what truth says, what common sense also says concerning our finances. Because how many folks realize our entire nation, the nations of the earth, and many individual families are in deep financial trouble even this day? It began somewhere. It began because it did not follow what God's Word says concerning money, concerning financial principles. So I'm going to lay some things down that may be news to some people here. It might be confirmation to other folks as well. But realize again, we're going through a time and a season right now where people need to understand that finances in a negative realm can cause some real pressure on marriages, on relationships, on our family. And God wants us to be wise stewards of all the finances He's given to us in our lives. So look now, if you would, at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Starting in verse 8. And it says here, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So God's perfect desire is we have no debts at all except for the debt to love other people around us. We are debtors to love. Amen. Then back in the Old Testament now, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 and 7. We went through this first part of this verse, verse 6, the last 4 weeks here, where it says, train up a child in the way or the bent that he should go. When he's older, he will not depart from it. That's the first part. Verse 7 goes on now and says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. How many folks agree that the number 2,300 is a pretty big number? Especially for a salary goes for every week. Amen. That's a pretty big number. 2,300 is a big number. There's 2,300 verses in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, that deal about finances and about money in our lives. 2,300 verses talk about finances, money, resources that are coming to us in God's Word. There's two things that can easily get out of control in our lives concerning money. Those two things are spending and they are debt. How many folks know those two things also go hand in hand? Spending out of control leads us into debt that can also become out of control. They found in a latest USA Today newspaper that in America today, the average American is spending 102% of what they earn every year. 102%. That means we're not having any savings take place for the average American. They're actually spending 2% more than they make, the average American is right now, in our nation. That's creating more and more, of course, debt and lack in the people of our country as well. God's desire is we be those that are not just lenders or those also that are giving out money and those that are givers upon the face of the earth. And God wants to be a place of resource. I believe what God's mandate is for us these last days is to see ourselves in such financial security, financial peace, financial soundness. We're going to find ourselves being a resource for people around us in great need in these last days. God's going to posture, I believe, many of us to be finding ourselves in the most prosperous part of our entire lives, right in the midst of drought and famine and lack around us. God wants you guys to be those that are prospering, those that have more than enough, those who have ample resource to help other folks around you in these last days. Amen? Because the Bible says the day will come, the last days, when one bushel of wheat will sell for one day's wages. But God also says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. So it's what God's desire for us is, we'll always see ourselves having enough, not also just enough, but also an ample sufficiency to help other folks around us in the time of lack in these last days. I've also found that our values determine our goals, And our goals also help us set a budget that'll help us keep out of debt. That word budget is a very, very painful word for many people. But when budgets are not being set, we're going to find ourselves spending by our emotions, living by our feelings, living by our circumstances, not always planning for the future, and then finding ourselves perhaps even in trouble as time goes by not doing that in our lives. I also believe that debt is a spirit. Debt could also almost be called a demonic spirit because debt becomes very, very addictive to many people around us. Debt causes torment. Debt causes emotional pain. Debt causes feelings that are always negative, not positive. Debt is a spirit also even over our entire nation today. You all may realize our nation of America is $17 trillion in debt even today. We're coming to the point very, very fast, very quickly. It'll be very, very hard to pay the very interest on our debt if we keep on finding ourselves getting into more and more debt in this country. So there's a spirit of debt over the entire nation and nations of the earth. But God says to us, you're not of the kingdom of your own nation. You're of my kingdom, says the Lord. In God's kingdom, guess what? There is no debt. And I want to say again today, God says when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as your will is done in heaven. So in God's kingdom, there's no debt there. God also says in your kingdom, there also should be no debt take place in your lives in Jesus' name. So I want to release some practical things this morning. I want to give you five things to help us find ourselves in a winning position for finances in our lives. This will not be a quick fix for many folks in this room today. You won't find yourself getting in massive debt overnight most of the time. You also don't find yourself getting out of massive debt overnight most of the time. Now, I'd love to all go out today and go out and buy a lottery ticket and pray to God and say, now, Father God, what's the numbers to win the Powerball today? Give me, oh God, a word of knowledge because you know, God, I'm going to tie 10% of that to the local church. And God says, oh, I didn't know that. Well, here, it's 5, 18, 23, 27, and 44. Power number three. How many folks know the Holy Spirit does not do that for us? You won't find yourself getting these words of knowledge numbers most of the time to win the lottery and see debt erased in 1 hour, 1 minute, or 1 day. But what God does do is God gives us line upon line wisdom, some practical teachings and principles so that debt won't take place in our life to begin with, hopefully. But if it does take place, we're going to find ourselves getting out of debt and finding ourselves winning in the realm of finances. Number one point today, again, these are take-home points like our pastor Mike Hammons gave a few weeks ago. Take-home points. Number one is stopping the debt. Stop the bleeding. I'm going to quote Dave Ramsey sometimes in this whole teaching time as well because this guy's got tremendous wisdom, spiritual, godly wisdom in seeing what he calls stopping the bleeding in our lives. So many folks are bleeding. They've got open wounds of debt. So the first thing is stopping the debt. I found the best defense in our lives is to stop all debt and try to go onto what's called a cash basis in your life. Amen? Stop the debt totally and go onto what's called a cash basis. You may not see yourselves being able to do that or see it in a practical sense take place, but I'm saying that should be the goal for all of us is see the plastic is only used for emergencies and see almost all items we actually buy in life take place by being bought with cold, hard, green cash. Amen. If we can do that as our lives go by. They have found through research that the average person will spend 20 to 30% more on merchandise if they use plastic than if they use green cash. Now, why is that? Because the plastic is somebody else's money. The cash is your money. When you take and pull your billfold or your purse out and put down 20s for that dress, it's got a whole lot of emotional things attached to that than pulling out your Dillard's credit card and they swipe that thing because you're spending Dillard's money. You're not spending your money as far as you're concerned. And so they found you're going to find yourself spending 20 to 30% more in the long run by using plastic psychologically, emotionally. You're going to find yourself using green cash. So I'm saying I encourage you guys, always try to carry cash around with you. I tell my own daughters and my son, try to always have 50 to 80 bucks on you all the time. You can do that to be able to buy things. And they say back to me as many times, they say, well, Dad, I can't control that. If I have cash, I spend cash. Pray against that. Bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I will not have to buy or spend every penny I get my hands on. I can actually get into the habit of keeping green cash on me all the time. Another thing you might have is called a debit card. Debit cards are not actually going to draw interest from you. Now, they're also easier to use those than cash would be, but debit cards are better than credit cards. They don't require interest being paid on the balance. Amen? Also, strive to implement what's called the 10-10-80 principle. You want to write some of these things down. 10-10-80 principle. What is that? The 10-10-80 principle says I take 10% of my income that I first receive, and I give that as a tithe unto the Lord. I told you guys a few weeks again, the Bible never says, give your tithe unto God. It doesn't say it one time in the Bible. It always says, bring your tithe into the storehouse. You see, you can't bring what does not belong, or what you cannot give what does not belong to you. So you can bring your tithe, because your tithe belongs to God to begin with. So God says, bring what is mine, bring it in the storehouse, and release that to me, says the Lord. Now, you might say to yourself, the first thing I'm going to cut in my life when I go through financial pressure, I'm going to cut my tithe first. Well, I'm going to say it's a big mistake to do that, because the Bible says in Malachi, I'll rebuke the devourer for thy namesake in your behalf when you bring that full tithe in the storehouse. I know in our own lives, Cheryl and myself, being married now for over 30 years, we have always seen God pull through time and time again to cause our 90% to always go further than our 100% would have gone had we not been paying tithe in our lives. I've always found myself about three major times in my lives when I needed to find a job in a secular realm in the right place at the right time to receive the right job exactly then. And I believe part of it is because God rebukes that devourer for our sake time and time again. I've seen God bring bargains to us. I just bought a weed whacker. Our weed eater broke down last week. I go into Home Depot over here in Pflugerville. They got a rack out there that says weed eaters refurbished. I found a $180 weed eater that was on sale for $77. Lady said, guess what? They're 25% more on top of that off today. Here's your weed eater now for $60. I got a $180 weed eater for $60, saved $120. God can rebuke the devourer for thy name's sake in our behalf. I can tell you how time and time again, God brings bargains to that, like that, in your lives. Amen. We right now in our house have got a $3,000 fridge sitting in our kitchen. We paid a little bit over $1,000 for that because a lady was there at Sears that one day, made some statements in our ear. We heard about on the internet, talked to the salesman about that. He said, yes, I guess that's true. Here's your fridge for $2,000 off. Good, bless you guys today. Have a good life. I'm saying to you guys time and time again, God will rebuke the devourer for thy name's sake in your behalf, cause your transmissions to last longer. He'll cause your cars to be the right car you buy, help you find the right house, the right place at the right time. I cannot go into details enough about how God can bless and help your life out when the tithe is not eaten in your lives and in your spending. So the 10, 10, 20, or 80 plan, put your tithe out there first of all. Amen. The next 10 stands for debt accelerator margin. Debt accelerator margin. That means if you're in debt, take that next 10% and put that towards the debt in your life. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Then the 80% is for you to now live on and pay all your bills with and get by on the earth. You can do that with the other 80% left behind. If you can't do that, we'll talk about that also a little bit later on in this message. Let's read now Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, 22 says, "The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous." And all the charismatics said, amen. We hear that scripture again and again, amen. But it goes on beyond that. And it says, next of all, notice this, and a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So God says, I do store up the wicked's wealth for your own benefit and your own blessing. But when I give that to you, it's for a future inheritance for your grandchildren. What God is saying here is don't eat everything you get in your life. There should be an abundance left over. As you find yourself in your 80s, 90s, and 100s, there'll be something left at the end of the journey of your life because you've done things wisely with your finances, not just living hand to mouth only all your life, but actually investing things and saving things for the future in your lives. Amen? So that's a very, very good scripture. I love that verse as well. When you get out of debt, when you finally get out of debt, I'm going to say right now, I speak it to your lives right now. You're going to find yourselves getting out of debt. When you get out of debt, do a plastectomy. You ever heard that word before? Do a plastectomy. That means take those plastic credit cards And do like Dave Ramsey says, get creative. Get your shotguns out. Get your blowtorch out. Crank up your gas furnace. And get your scissors out and burn, cut, slash, and blow those things up in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you might want to keep one or two for emergencies and for conveniences, but I'm saying you don't need 12 credit cards in your all your life on the earth. Amen. So let's do that thing called a plastectomy. Let's see those things destroyed, burned, shattered, blown up, shot, whatever. Get them out of our lives in Jesus' name. Number two. Second key here about winning in finances, beware of the deceptions of debt. Beware of the deceptions, because debt is very, very deceptive. There are people getting degrees right now at UT and Harvard and Yale and Princeton. They've got degrees. They're going into financial institutions. They're trying to find ways to trick you into going into more debt in your life. They're trying to find ingenious methods to give you late fees, secret fees, interest rates that change very quickly, trying to find traps and snares for all kinds of people on the face of this earth and in our own nation as well. Amen. And they found that most debt, most late fees, most traps and snares are geared toward the 5% of our nation making the least amount of money. They're preying on the 5% of our country that are the poorest and least educated in our country right now. Because they said, those are the guys that give us the most money from our snares and traps we put out there with our credit cards, credit plans, and debt ensnarements upon the nation. Be aware of that. Understand it. That's insidious. That's demonic. That is a spirit. It needs to be broken off our lives. Amen? So, there's two kinds of credit. There's revolving credit and there's fixed credit. Revolving credit is a temporary thing that says there's no asset attached to that. When you go buy a McDonald's hamburger on credit, it's called a revolving type credit. There's no asset attached to it. It goes into your stomach, goes out of you, it's all gone. When you go out there and buy a car or a house, that is called a fixed asset. There's something attached to that of value with that. Amen? Now, some fixed assets, of course, like clothing or like appliances or furniture, those things depreciate very, very fast and very, very quick. The goal is to have fixed asset debt that always takes and is never going to be above what your debt actually is. It's called going upside down. We've heard of that word upside down a lot in our retail market, in our real estate market of housing. How many folks in America right now are upside down on their mortgages? They're upside down on their car loan. They actually owe more on their cars, owe more on their houses than their houses are worth or their car is worth. And so with fixed asset debt, try to always stay right side up, not upside down. Amen? God says, the ways of Satan I turn upside down. And so take those upside down debts and they can go right side up, hopefully in due time in your lives. The best thing, of course, is always pay cash. If you can do that, pay cash for all things. But how many folks realize there are college kids right now in America that are still paying for hamburgers on credit they ate 10 years ago? They're paying for those things today, 10 years later. It ought not be so. Also, there's a thing called 0% interest out there all over our nation, all over our city. Now, Cheryl and I have bought several things on what's called 0% interest. We bought sometimes some furniture, a TV set one time. And it's in this thing, it says, if you pay this thing off in 12 months or 18 months, there's no interest. It's totally interest-free. The key here is, though, they realize that many people are undisciplined and they'll forget to make their payments on time. And the small print says, if you're late on one payment, all payments become due, and your interest rate goes from 0% to 23%. And also, if 12 months goes by and there's a balance still remaining there, it also goes from 0% to 18 or 23% after the 12-month period goes by. So I'm saying to you guys today, if you take and jump on 0% interest on a car or on an appliance or furniture, please know yourself. Know who you are. Am I disciplined? Will I keep my payments on time? Will I be able to pay this thing off in 12 months? Can I do that? If you can say yes to all of the above, I'm saying with God's grace and God's peace, go for it perhaps, but do be disciplined there and make those payments on time. If you don't do that, they're going to say all the interest you actually save, we want that all that interest now in our hands. You got to pay the whole thing off and find yourself about 18% interest now going on beyond that loan. The next thing is do your best to guard your credit score and shop for the best interest rates. Your credit score makes more and more difference every year in this country. Some folks actually choose who they hire at their workplaces by their credit scores. And so I'm saying guard that then, because your credit score, when it's good, gets you better interest rates on houses and on car loans. Amen? Better your score is, better your interest rate becomes. Helps you out also in the long run for your whole life. So I'm saying guard your credit score. And sometimes find out what your credit score really is. Go online and find that thing out there. You might find there's some letters you can write to get your credit score higher if it's very, very low today in your life. And also shop for lower interest rates. When going in debt for a car, for a house, there's many, many options for that. Always try to shop around and find the best rate. Amen? Check out credit unions. Check out all the credit card companies. Go online. Ask your friends. Ask people how to find the best interest rate. Point number three. Take home point number three. Go on the offense. Go on the offense. The average person, they say in this room today, is thousands of dollars in debt. Most Americans are over $10,000 in debt right now on credit cards alone. Most Americans are. And so in this room right now represents tens of thousands of dollars of just credit card debt alone in this place. And so it's not fixed debt, fixed asset debt. It's revolving temporary debt that must be wiped out somehow or not. So I'm saying go on the offense. Let's look now at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 5. Proverbs 6, 5 says, deliver yourself like a deer or gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand or snare of the fowler. Now, why does God say that? What's he talking about here? Debt is like this. In Africa, when those gazelles, Thompson's gazelles or impalas, are being stalked by the cheetahs. The cheetahs, of course, are crouched way down low. They find the right moment there to pounce on them and try to attack them and bring them down and kill them and eat them. But they find the cheetah is unsuccessful 19 out of 20 times of capturing the Thompson gazelle or the impala. They miss 19 out of 20 times. Now, why is that? Because the gazelle and the impala has rapid acceleration. The cheetahs take a little bit of time to get their speed up from 0 to 70. It takes a little time to do that. But a gazelle like that is up there and fast, 50 miles an hour, running real quick. Then he zigs and zags back and forth, has a real little hard time being caught by the cheetah, by the lion out there in the wild. The birds the same way. Birds have what's called rapid acceleration. Flies are also the same way. I've got a fly swatter in my house right now, and those flies are smart. Those flies can see you coming, amen? And the birds are the same way. Birds can feel you coming. They're gone. They're out. I'll give you a secret about flies. Flies, when flies are on something landed there, they always jump backwards and then take off. God did tricky things for flies to save their lives. But I found their trick out. I read their trick in Reader's Digest. Flies jump backwards and then go up. So always swing behind them. You'll get them almost every time. Amen? And I'm like a person that puts you in debt. I'm very sneaky, very sneaky. Okay, so I'm saying that's how Satan also works. He says, God says in his word here, be like the gazelle, be like the deer, be like the bird, have rapid acceleration, get yourself out of the snare of debt yourselves by using my principles, my wisdom, my disciplines, is what God says to us. What if you don't have that 10% for debt reduction of your paycheck every single week or month? What do you do? But the 10% is not there. Number one thing you can do is find something to sell in your house. Find something to sell. Some of you ladies could take and clean out your gold jewelry, perhaps. Sell some gold, perhaps. Go ahead and sell some of that exercise equipment. It's been gathering dust now for 10 years. You don't need that treadmill, perhaps, or you don't need that elliptical so much. You've been sitting there 5 years gathering dust, using for a coat rack and for a clothes rack. It might be time to sell that in a garage sale, amen? It might come time to sell that boat or sell five of those 500 guns you've got. Okay? Might come time to go ahead and shut down that storage shed that's holding all that junk out there that costs you $55-$60 a month to rent that storage shed. Could be time to cut back on some services there. Maybe you want to cut back your cable or your satellite dish. You don't need all those premium channels and sport channels, NFL ticket and so forth, perhaps. Get that thing down from $180 a month down to about maybe $35-$40 a month and see that money freed up now for your debts in your life. Amen. Maybe less manicures, maybe less massages, less things like I'm saying there. Find some things you can cut, first of all, in life, and services and goods, things you can sell in your life. And then last resort, you might need another job and receive more income in your life. I'm saying think about a second job, second income coming in, babysitting, lawn cutting, whatever it may be there. Ask God for wisdom there. Say, how can I earn more money? But the last thing to do there again is try to earn more money. Dave Ramsey says normally folks in deep debt are so stressed out that getting more jobs and more work creates more stress for them sometimes. So I'm saying again, do that as a last resort. First of all, sell things, cut services back, cut some spending back, stop the bleeding first. Amen. Might come time to sell that $35,000 pickup and buy a $5,000 pickup. Amen. There's some really good $5,000 pickups out there right now in Austin, Texas. Amen. So find some things you can cut back in life. Stop the bleeding. Don't try to impress your neighbors. Don't try to impress others around you. Get yourself out of debt. Declare war on debt in your life. And then next of all here, list your debt on paper. List your debt on paper or on computer. Get Excel. Habakkuk says, make the vision clear. Write it down on tablets so those who have the vision can run with the vision. I myself, whenever Cheryl and I moved to Austin, Texas back in 1994, our home in Wichita, Kansas, the house sale sold in one day. It fell through. We found ourselves making a house payment in Kansas and paying high rent here in Austin to us and having half the income all at the same time take place in our lives. Now, praise God, we had excellent credit. We moved to this city in 94. We had no debt. Our cars were paid off. We had no credit card debt, excellent credit rating. And so I found myself on half the income paying two payments now for two houses at the same time with three kids. We started living on credit cards many weeks. I bought groceries and bought things I had to have on credit card. Our credit card debt started getting higher and higher and higher and higher. I finally found myself having six different credit card debts to ease off. When God pulled through and God gave us different jobs, we started seeing things getting chipped away, chipped away, chipped away, little by little as time was going by. But what I did there was I took my six credit card debts, and I put them all on a notebook from Office Depot, a ledger book. I had down MasterCard, Visa, Capital One, Sears, whatever the others were, Macy's, Dillard's, whatever else. Take all six, all ten of your debts and label them all across the Excel sheet or across your little notebook from Office Depot. Write those things out. Then also write down the interest rate under the name of that debt. That Capital One card is at 12.9%. Write that down. Is your Sears card 18%? Write that down. Then write down the balance that you owe on those 10 debts in your life. Write those balances down beneath there. And then now on the other side, in the far left-hand column, every month you're going to pay something towards every single debt there and bring those debts down. You have $5,000, $4,000, $2,500, $1,800, $5,000, $3,000, $5,000. Many Americans have that right across the board. Six, seven, eight debts like that. Five, three, $2,500, $1,700 there. Write them all out there. Every month, write down beneath there the interest you're paying on every one of those debts and how much you paid against that loan, that debt, every month. I saw in my little ledger there, six columns that were there, I saw it going down and down and down. And finally, one of them, bam, goes away. One debt is totally wiped out. It's totally off. I go from six debts to five debts. What do I do there? I pay the same amount every month now for all five debts as I pay for all six debts, but I now increase the highest interest debt. I start putting more towards that one. And then time goes by, and bam, it's down to four debts. Then more time goes by, bam, it's down to three debts. And it goes down and down and down, paying the same amount every single month now, but seeing the debt getting less and less. And I wrote it down on paper. I could see it every month, what I'm paying on interest, what I'm paying on principal, how it's coming down and down and down. I encourage you guys, don't let your debt be out there in some nebulous sphere out there. Write your debts down on paper or on Excel computer, and keep track of that and bring that thing down as you can in with God's help. Amen? I encourage you to do that. That's a very practical thing to do, very important thing to do. It will help you out, I promise you. Now, next of all, again, once you pay a column off, add the monthly payment again to the other columns that they're still remaining there. It normally takes the average American 5 to 7 years to get down to a zero balance on those columns. That sounds like your whole life, doesn't it? But guess what? If you don't do that, it's going to be 15 to 800 years. Amen? Do you want 15 to 800 years, or do you want 3 to 5 years, 5 to 7 years? Dave Ramsey also says the average American can get totally out of debt, their house included, in 11 years. Even their house paid off in 11 years, making $50,000 a year. $50,000 a year, you'll be totally out of debt in 11 years. You say, well, Jesus Christ is going to come back any day now. I need to live like Christ is going to come back tomorrow. I need to spend everything and buy everything, get totally in debt because the Antichrist is going to come and ruin everything for me. Don't live like that. Don't live like that. I made a bad decision back in the 80s because I was told in the 70s, Christ is going to come back any minute now. In 75, I was told that. 72, I was told that. When the stock market crashed and tanked in 87, I sold everything in our mutual funds. Made a bad decision because I had the fear, here's the Antichrist. Christ is going to come back now. And so I'm saying, don't live. Christ may come back next week, amen? But he may not. He may come back in the year 2085, amen? So I'm saying, live like Christ will come back 55 million years from now and get your debts paid down and be wise with your money in Jesus' name, amen? Let money serve you. Don't start serving money yourself in your life. Break that mammon off your life in Jesus' name. Number four is be wise about saving before all debt is paid. Many people they believe that they must put money in savings accounts and then be paying debt off at the same time. Now I'm saying get a peace in your heart about what to do about this, because most financial experts agree that you should have about a 3-month survival income somewhere in savings. 3 months to get by in life should be somewhere in a savings account in your life, they're saying, because you might get laid off tomorrow from your job. It might take you 3 months to find another job to replace a job you've got. So we should have, all of us should have 3 months of rent, utilities, grocery money, utility, all these things that are actually payments so forth should be in our savings account somehow, some way in our lives. So the fact is that savings, though, does not pay anywhere near the interest that credit cards cost you. Savings accounts pay about 1% interest. Credit cards charge you about 9 to 18% interest. Amen? And so you're actually losing money by putting money in savings and keeping it there and not paying off your credit card debt. But you say, well, what do I do then if emergency takes place? I got no savings. Well, in Cheryl and I's lives, for a short season there, our credit cards became our savings account. And so we use our credit cards for emergency spending in our lives, but only for a short season in our lives. You need to find a piece yourself about what you're wired like, what your financial disciplines are like in your own life there, and decide, do I have a savings account like this and have interest rates at the same time that are racking up, or do I take all my savings and put it towards credit card debt and then use my credit cards for emergency spending only? Which one do I do? Decide that yourself. And I'm saying, think about that also, about savings versus interest rates and credit card debt and so forth in your lives. Honestly, know yourself and your level of discipline in your life before making that decision. Remember, if you have no emergency funds at all in your life and your credit is shot and you can't get loans because your credit is so bad and you have no credit cards to even bail you out, emergencies there, I tell my kids, you need to go into lockdown mode. Lockdown mode means I am in disaster mode. I need to take and start saving some money up and get 3 jobs if need be for a season to get emergency fund savings in my bank account in Jesus' name. Because how many folks realize emergencies will take place in your life? Your transmission will break down. Your head gaskets will warp. Amen. Your dog will get pneumonia. I'm saying somehow, some way, the hailstones will hit your roof. There will be deductibles there of $3,000 on your house. I'm saying somehow, some way, disasters do take place in our lives that are totally unexpected. And so I'm saying go into lockdown mode and get yourself a built-up savings account in your life. Amen? Think about that. Pray for that. You need that in your lives. We need something to fall onto when times of emergencies take place in our lives. Last of all, number five, I'm going to speak now to our youth, especially adults as well. Number five says, learn good financial habits in your youth. The word youth to me means age 16 to age 29, okay? Get good financial habits in your life at a young age. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27 says, It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And I worked at Dillon's grocery store back in 1974. I was only, again, 16 years of age. A young man comes in my first year in the job, 2 years into the job, I think it was, whose name was Dwight Holfield. Now, Dwight Holfield was a real character. This guy had a sense of humor. He was a smart aleck. But this guy was wise in his own way. What he did there is he only had about five shirts, about five pairs of pants, and about two pairs of shoes. This guy would approach the employees at Dillon's every day and say, "Can I have your hours? Do you want to get off this Thursday? I'll work for you. Do you want to get off on Sunday? Time and a half pay on Sundays? I'll work for you." This guy worked every hour he could work from age 16 to age 19 in that grocery store. He went out and bought a $500 beat-up Biscayne station wagon, 15 years old probably. But when lunchtimes came, he didn't go to the fast food restaurants and buy lunch. He went back to his mom's house and had her feed him. Every extra dollar that Dwight got, he put in the stock market. He bought Apple stock. He bought Kellogg stock. He bought all kinds of stock at age 16, age 17, age 18. He bought stock, stock, stock. The guy had the same shirt, the same pants, had no dates, smelled funny, looked funny, acted funny. My friend named Keith Pedersen has that same job made from 1974. It's the only job Keith's ever had is Dillon's grocery store. He's now my age. 30-some years has gone by. He said Dwight Holfield is now a multimillionaire. He retired back in his 40s from work. Retired at age 42, 45 years of age. Retired. You see, he bore his yoke in his youth. He put his money in stocks way back in the 1970s there. He had a beat-up car with beat-up clothes and greasy hair. Looked all funny there. But the guy's a retired millionaire in his 40s. Now, that guy's an extreme to me because I don't think it's wise to have that kind of an imbalance in your life and have no dates and no fun and just work, work, work yourself to the bone. Because the bad thing about Dwight's life was it became a habit for him. He became a tightwad. He became a miser and is not even saved as far as I know today. So he's actually an extreme to the other side about what financial blessings are all about. Amen. What I am saying to you guys that are youth, though, is find a balance in your life. Somewhere between Dwight Holfield and most of us. Find a balance in your life. Amen? At your young age, try to work those extra hours, if you can do that, sometime in your high school years. Put some money into savings. Try to find some mutual funds with your own parents' advice. Amen? And try to find a way to invest some money and even start buying some things for your wife or husband for the future. Start buying some plates on sale, silverware on sale, pots and pans on sale. Start buying things little by little in your young age. Bear the yoke when you're young, because how many folks would admit here today would agree 30 years old comes real fast. 30 years old comes real fast. And 30 years old means you got a baby or two or three in your house and they want clothes. And they want shoes. And they want college educations. And they want a dog and a cat that tears the house up. All those things, cha-ching, cha-ching, cost money. You don't need cash right now, you don't think, because you're 16, 17, and mom and dad pay for everything. Those days come to an end real fast. I encourage you kids, don't buy a $25,000 car at $700 a month payment there. And blow all your money on interest, okay? Get your first car to be a reasonable type of car. There's something that will last a long time. And put some money in savings, amen, to bless you in the future as well. Moving along here, there's four continents in the world of finances that I encourage you to get a handle on, you youth, you adults as well. That first number one is one called spending. The youth generation today, young generation today, they're on a thing that's called, they want what's called instant gratification. And so because your neighbors have it, you want it for yourself. In God's kingdom, God does things again by marinating, not by microwave normally. So God does things in a slow, controlled type environment. And so understanding, as far as spending goes, don't look for quick fixes, quick bargains, and quick deals. Try to let your money be spread out there to last a long, long time in your life. Number two is debt. Keep your debt at zero or a minimum, if possible, in your life. Number three is a continent that's called savings. Savings means I have lifetime goals. I see myself owning a house one day, not renting all my life. I see myself paying for college. I see myself having a wife or a husband and kids one day. And I see myself also even blessing others in life. So I have a savings account that begins at a very, very young age in life. The fourth continent is, number four, is a word called investing. Investing. And that means make a responsible goal, reasonable goal of how much you can put aside every month into some investment for long-term planning for your future. That might be mutual funds. That might be real estate. I know Dave Ramsey says all he buys is real estate and mutual funds for investments. But I'm saying find a plan somehow, some way, and invest for your future, because your future comes faster than you think. Amen? Well, I'm going to have James go ahead and come back to the platform now and help me out. I'm going to pray here for the congregation. We're talking here today about being successful, having victory in the realms of finances for our lives. And I want to pray today for the congregation that we're going to find ourselves and see ourselves and ask God to intervene for us in the realms of finances. There are those here today, I'm sure, that are going through a time of financial pressure. You're going through a time where you say, well, Pastor Mike, I don't even have the means to live on the 100% I make in my household right now. There's always too much month at the end of the money every single month. For you, I pray to God that the Lord gives you wisdom on how to decrease the spending, perhaps, how to have creative ideas to receive more income, and how God would also even give you the favor, the blessings to receive promotions, raises, bonuses, and maybe even receive a better education or a better job that pays more in the days ahead. But right now you're at today, if you have a lack where your income does not see the needs being met in your lives, I'm going to pray right now, I'm going to agree with you right now today, where your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, that God gives you a divine wake-up call, but also a divine impartation to receive an onflow of His wisdom on what you can do, what you can adjust yourself to see how things are turning around little by little in your life, to find yourself going towards the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not going to be a train. It's going to be God's Spirit. That light's going to be setting you free, not putting you in bondage. Father, I pray to God, I pray to you, O Lord, this day, before all these people, oh God, that you are the one that says nothing is too hard for me. You are the God of more than enough, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, who provides all of our needs, according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Help us, God, first of all, identify what is a real need in our lives. What are wants? What are things we covet? What are things that are even coming from greed, perhaps, or from vacuums and voids of our lives? I praise you, God. First of all, you identify with us, and with your help, oh God, we identify ourselves. What are legitimate needs in our lives, oh God, this day, in my life, my situation? Father, I pray, oh God, that you give these people wisdom in the realms of finances to make the cuts, to sell the things, to cut off the services, or to increase the income, or all of the above. So their needs are met, their children's needs are met, and their grandchildren shall be blessed in the land. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to pray about one more thing today. And that is a thing that's the spirit of debt preys and feeds on this. And what this thing is some people actually receive a high. They receive a medication. They receive fulfillment. They receive temporary joy from buying things, from purchasing things. They can't help themselves. They've got to go out there and buy that new dress, those new shoes, that new furniture, that new car, that new house. They just can't help themselves. And God's phone is ringing, saying, are you listening to what the man of God is saying? I'm going to use every prop I can. I praise you, Father God, that there's those that are here today, Father God, who receive medication, receive a joy, receive a fulfillment for a temporary season, God, from spending and buying things. Lord God, put your finger, your spirit, God, upon that wound, upon that open sore, upon that place, that vacuum, that void that says, I need stuff, I need things, I need purchases to feel good about myself. It brings to me a medication that calms and soothes the hurts, the wounds, the bruises, the vacuums of my life. I praise you, Father God, that this thing is going to be closed this day. close this day in Jesus' name. And I say, Father God, your word is true that says, be content with such things as you have, for I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I pray right now, I loose right now upon this congregation a spirit of divine contentment in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, your heads are bowed right now and your eyes are closed a moment longer. If that's you today, and you'll admit and say today, Pastor Mike, I'm having a problem with this.